Good morning to each one this morning. I greet you in Christ's name. Certainly good to be back here again. Doesn't seem real long that we were here. Wasn't here for a Sunday morning, but it was good to come back again and be here. It was special to be with you all through a day like yesterday and experience that and be a part of that. And I feel like I have a little bit more connection with some of you that I don't run across all the time. So often we come down here and we have so much family that we don't see some of you as much as we would like to, but it was very good to be here and be a part of that yesterday. Thank you all for your hospitality this weekend with the little house over here and everything, whoever was responsible for that. Much appreciated. Very nice accommodations for a weekend like this for a family like ours. I was blessed this morning with the service so far. It was right from the singing to the devotional and the Sunday school, and there's just so much in there to think about every time if you just mind for it, think about it. And the one song in particular that we sang this morning, the second song, I think it was, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," goes with what I would like to talk about this morning. Let's turn to John chapter 10. It's a familiar story. Speaking of our trust in Jesus, and this is the shepherd here. I'd like to read from John chapter 10. We'll read the first 16 verses. John 10 verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." For my text verse, I'd like to look at a couple words in verse 14. He says, begins with, "I'm the good shepherd." Then he says, "I know my sheep and am known of mine." And that's the thought I would like to look at this morning. I've titled the message, "To Know and Be Known." And I'd like to think about the deep reciprocal relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, and between, or the relationship and the trust that went in to that relationship. And we sang that song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," and we have the trust this way between God and ourselves, and that's wonderful. We can trust him because he is perfect and can be trusted. But there's a factor here. I know my sheep and am known of my sheep. And then that's what I would like to focus on a little bit this morning, is not only our trust between ourselves and Jesus or our Creator, but also our trust on this level between ourselves, and how important and foundational that is to an organization. One author put it this way. He said, there is no currency in organizational life more valuable than trustworthiness. There is no currency in organizational life more valuable than trustworthiness. And in a world where confidence and trust are in free fall and almost non-existent, we as followers of Christ and a brotherhood, we need to guard and fight against the tendency to mistrust each other. And I sense it in my own life. It's almost the first place I go to with somebody is to mistrust. And a lot of that has to do with possibly history and betrayal and things that have gone wrong in relationships before that. But we can move beyond that, and we need to move beyond that. And I just believe that this foundation of trust in the brotherhood is one of the most prevalent reasons that churches are failing and falling and closing their doors. A while back, we were at a baptismal in an evangelical free church, and it was amazing to me. It was a huge church. I didn't know that there was that many that even went there. But I also have a man that works for me that is a part of that church, and he talks about, I made a comment that was, I said, I didn't know that your church was that big, and he said, yeah, but there's really not that many members. He said, there's only a handful, and he said the leadership struggles to even fill the roles of Sunday school and leadership in any. He can't hardly get people to step forward and take responsibilities. And I had to think about that. So we have all these people that come together, and there's kind of a light, superficial worship experience that they go through. But what is missing in that organization or in that church? And there is just a staggering lack of trust. And the trust I want to talk about this morning is labeled as, I ran across this term in my studies, but it's called vulnerability-based trust. And it's more than just a trust that we have between a business partner or someone we know they arrive on time and they are conscientious and they do a good job. And that's a level of trust we can have. But this is another level. This is a deeper level, more that we would find in a marriage relationship, where there is a vulnerability that takes a person in that relationship to a whole nother level of trust. And that's what I would like to look at. It's another example would be maybe in a SEAL team or something like that in the military, where it is life and death, and they have to have the ultimate trust in their comrades and their partners they know that it means life or death. Also, I had a friend that was a military fighter pilot trainer, and he had been there, and he was a trainer, and he talked about the value of trust, and he had trained with the Canadian Forces Snowbirds, and he flew with them, and he was of that. He could do it. But he talked about the value of trust in a high-stakes game like that. He said, if there was absolutely any question in of any kind about any one of your teammates, it was a disqualification for them. It didn't matter what part of life. They could be the most skilled, the most qualified, but if there was any slight question, they were disqualified. And that stuck with me. It was like, trust is just something that is valuable, and it is not something that comes easy. It's a lot of hard work, and it is not somewhere we default to, or I don't anyway. It is said that there is nothing more brave than to give the most vulnerable aspect of yourself to someone else. But when we open up in our vulnerability, we become vulnerable to someone, so often that vulnerability is reciprocated back. And there is a connection that happens there, and that is where the next level of trust is built. Through that vulnerability, through that opening up between people. There's been a lot of studies done on this subject, and I read a tremendous amount through it, but I was interested to see how so many of the studies came back to the same things. And I'm just going to go down. I wrote some of this down. And a lot of these studies were done in, it's everything from business to organization to church to any time where people are coming together and working together. A team with no trust has these traits. Team with no trust conceals weakness and mistakes from others, hesitates to provide constructive feedback, hesitates to offer help outside their area of expertise, fails to tap into the skills of others, wastes time and energy managing their behaviors for effect, holds grudges, and feels threatened easily. That's a general study. A team with high trust has these traits. Apologizes to one another, readily accepts questions and challenges, takes risks in offering feedback and assistance, appreciates and taps into the skills and experiences of others, focus time and energy on important issues, openly admit weakness and mistakes, know each other's personal lives, not afraid to ask for help, call out people on the behavior traits that demonstrate lack of trust, spend more time together. We will not build trust if we don't show up. And over in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25 say, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let us consider one another, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And in speaking to some of you here in the last couple days, I heard you got together to discuss an issue and as a brotherhood, and that's what it takes. It takes that coming together of everybody and hearing each other talk and hearing the viewpoint, the perspective from other people, and building a trusting relationship from that, because we have a better understanding. There was another interesting thing I ran into. I'm just going to write it up here on the board if I have a marker that works. I don't know if you can read my writing, but anyway. This is what another man found in his study. In an organization where there's an absence of trust as the basis, there's a fear of conflict, there's a fear of confrontation. Nobody wants to get into the depth in a discussion between two people to come to the to come to a decision. When the absence of trust, so there's a fear of conflict, The next, there is a lack of commitment. They all kind of build on each other. So if there's a kind of a superficial, non-committal, no conflict, and that brings the avoidance of accountability. So the fear of conflict, the lack of commitment, the avoidance of accountability. We don't really want to be accountable to each other in a low trust relationship, which there is an inattention to results. And I thought it was just interesting how they build on each other. And then he said, if we erase the absence of, the fear of, the lack of, and the avoidance of, and the inattention to, what do we have? We have trust, then we have conflict, we have commitment, accountability, and then results. And it was kind of a new thought to me, because we think that in a high trust relationship, there should be not a lot of conflict. But is that actually the way it is? Is that the way it should be? Is that the way it is between a husband and wife? You go through courtship, and it's good, and a lot of times you work through some difficult things in that. But in marriage, all of a sudden there's a vulnerability that goes along with the level of trust that is built into that relationship, and it is through confronting the differences and the differences of opinion and coming together on that. And that is what I like to hear and see what went on the last week here among the brothers here, is to get together, and when there's things to discuss, everybody comes together, everybody is heard, and it's not a conflict as a fight, but it's a conflict. It's a facing the challenge together that everybody is thinking about, and walking through that together and hearing the perspectives and going through that moment of conflict before you can come together. Through that is built commitment to the decision that gets made through that conflict. There is a level of commitment, and they said it's interesting, but 99%, I think it was, of the time when people come together and are heard, he said 99% of the time there will be commitment to the decision made, whether or not it was, obviously it's not going to be everyone's idea that carries the day. They're going to have to come to an agreement together, but when those steps happen, there is the buy-in. There is people that commit to the decision that was made. I just thought that was really interesting. It said if people don't weigh into decision, they are not going to buy in. So we have people that don't show up or just be quiet, don't share. They may agree or they may disagree, and they don't voice it. There never will really be a deep level of buy-in or commitment to that decision. So through that commitment comes accountability. So when these steps are followed, now we have accountability among each other, and we know where everybody came from in their decision, and we are together, and we watch, and we hold each other accountable to that decision that was made. And that's another step which produces results, which produces a brotherhood that can actually work together. And that is what I would like to think about this morning and present. It's just, I think it's so foundational to the sustainability of the church. The accountability, I've pulled a couple verses out of Proverbs. It says, Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's a brotherhood. That's how it works. It's not always easy. We have to be willing to approach and be approachable and be involved in difficult conversations. And sometimes there always has to be compassion in that. But if we can't ever come to the place where we can approach somebody or be approached by somebody and find that level of conversation or understanding that we can move from, we never will really find a place of trust and confidence in each other. One old rancher put it to me this way. He said, we were having a discussion, and I don't even know what we were talking about, but he just made the comment. He said, you be frank and I'll be earnest. And it kind of stuck with me. It was like, sometimes we need to just be that. We need to do that. And in a brotherhood, it can be done. I have five traits to build trust that I wrote down, and I'd like to go over those. First one I have is we need to be transparent. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So to confess our faults one to another, there is a vulnerability that happens there, that it's a transparent, the walls, the guards, the shields come down, they come off, and we bare our hearts and open up to each other, and it's extremely tough to do. But if we take that step and open ourselves in a Christian brotherhood, so many times that will be reciprocated back. There'll be a coming together that happens through that experience that can't come any other way. In trusting relationships, weaknesses and mistakes will never be exploited. And that is another tendency I have, or we have, is when someone becomes vulnerable and opens themselves up, or we do that, and we exploit those weaknesses in any way, that's where trust is undermined. And every one of us probably has had an experience like that. We happen to be human, and we happen to have to work with humans, and that's just the way it goes sometimes. But it's not always the way it is. Second one I have is be humble. It takes humility to be transparent and vulnerable. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Ephesians 4 verse 2 and 3, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Through this humility and transparency, we learn to know each other and be known by each other. And that's what Christ, back in John there that he talked about, is I know my sheep and am known of mine. It's that same thought. He talks about we would be one as he is one with his Father, and that's what we strive for. Third one I have, be authentic. Be real, practice what you preach, which is tough sometimes. Don't even try to fake it. It's usually quite easy to spot a fake. There's some that are pretty good at it, but Luke 12 verse 1 to 3, actually I'll just turn to that. Beware of hypocrisy. It says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So we can only fake it for so long. We can maybe pull the wool over people's eyes for a time, but it's only a matter of time before that gets exposed. I'm sure I've had the experience, but maybe some of us have, is to be in a Brandon Corral with a bunch of men, and you'll have someone come riding in, and they have all the gear, they have the big hat, and they have the caps, and they have the cuffs, and they have the big mustache, and they have everything, and they come rolling in there, and it's kind of like you watch and see what they can do. And then they have all the bling, but they can't do the thing. You ever run into that? And it just, when you see that on any level, it stinks. It's like, go do it somewhere else. Don't, you know. It's no different, really, and we can only pull the wool over people's eyes for so long. Fourth one I have is be compassionate toward others. And Christ is the best example of that. We heard about it this morning already, different times. But Christ, when he was always with people, and he was always doing things for the people, and he got tired just like everybody else. And there was a few times where he tried to escape, and he tried to go up to the mountain to get away, and they followed him. And it says different times he was moved with compassion. It was the crowd. They thronged him, and so he put his own things aside, and he dealt with the needs of the crowd. And that is, he was the most trusted person in the world, and that's why we still trust him today, like we sang about. Christ was always moved with compassion for others. So often for myself, I'm moved with compassion probably for myself. Are our decisions based on the good of the brotherhood, or are they based on the good of ourselves? It's just a question to ask us. Are we moved with compassion for the people we're working with, the brotherhood, or is the job I do, the pickup I drive, the way I dress, all that stuff, is that for the good of the brotherhood, or is it for the compassion for ourselves? It's a question to ask. Fifth one I have, be fair. James 3:17-18 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. These verses are key to building trust in a brotherhood. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That is what Christ addressed so often in the people around him, is the hypocrisy. And when we sense that in a person, it undermines any sense of trust whatsoever. We need to strive for the depth in our relationships where trust can be nurtured and grow. And it's humbling work, but without it, the church will not grow and prosper. That's just the way it is.�². The other thing they found in their studies of this, as they said, if there's not trust among the leadership of a company or a team or a church, we cannot expect trust in the brotherhood. Trust has to be embodied and it has to be exemplified by the leadership first. If we as leaders don't step up and do the hard work among ourselves to build those relationships and that trust among ourselves, we can't expect anybody else to. It's just something to think about. If we as leadership fail to build deep levels of trust when things are relatively smooth, we cannot expect there to be a deep level of trust in crisis. And we saw that in a big way through the COVID pandemic, when there was crisis and there was panic and there was people looking for leadership in every way. And the failed leadership of the years gone by, very few people had confidence in the leadership of the governments that were in charge, and we see now that worked. It was very counterproductive. So this is something that we need to build into our lives and our relationships long before the crisis. So when there is a crisis, leadership can step out and lead, and the group or the team or the brotherhood has the confidence and the trust built to follow, or to want to follow that. But it's years and years of work. Finally, in closing, just a word of caution. We need to trust and build trust very carefully. It's not something that we can do with everybody, obviously. Vulnerability-based trust carries great potential for deep and lasting relationships, but sadly, not everyone is trustworthy, and we need to build slowly and with great caution. Christ dealt with it when he was walking the earth. He said, we read one of them, but he said, "Beware of false prophets. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of false teachers." Christ called them, he called them out, and he called them snakes and hypocrites, whited sepulchres. He had lots of names for them, and he called them right to their face. He didn't spare any words. And I had to think about John there when he was warning about the Diotrephes there. He was a leader, and he stood up and he said, whoa, he said, watch that guy. He said, he's out there for power. And he just exposed him for who he was. There are those kind of men out there, and there are those kind of men that we will at some point have to deal with or have to confront. But it is critical that those men and those ways get called out when the people are warned, that people understand exactly what's going on. Beware of gossip. That was one I just wrote down, but I think gossip is one of the biggest threats to building trust. We talk and we tend toward negativity, so many of us. And it's just something to think about. If we're talking about someone, let's exploit the good things. Let's hit their high points. Let's not at all exploit the vulnerability and weakness that we see in someone else. So I just ask, how is it with each of us? With myself, can you trust the person you're sitting beside on the bench, behind or in front of? If you can, that's wonderful. If you can't, what are you going to do about it? And I would like to just challenge each of us Let's not assume things. Let's work with facts. Let's do the hard work to know and be known in spite of the hurts and the betrayal of the past. We all have that, and we all tend to go back there for a point of reference, but there is a way forward. There is a way to build brotherhood, and it is very much against or swimming against the current of what we've faced today. We need to swim upstream against the current of mistrust and build a culture of caring, compassionate, trusting brotherhood. And especially in the, I think about it now where we're at in church life and in the days ahead and what we're facing with in so many ways, but even with the restructuring and that whole thing, there needs to be a level of trust and confidence among ourselves, among the groups, and personally with each one, so we can make right decisions and continue to build and come out on the right side and make steps forward and continue to be a light in our communities. So that's a challenge I just want to leave with each one. Let's strive to know and to be known, and let's build a brotherhood of trust. God bless.